For a minute in the quiet, it feels like it was before. I get lost just for a moment, thinking I'm not where I am. And I didn't want to feel this way, tired of being out of place. Give me a one-way ticket out of here someplace. I know I can be happy, it's not in my head.
Hey my friends, welcome to the podcast. I'm Joanne Bastine, and that's what she said. This is another episode that is going to post on both of the podcasts right now. I'm kind of in the process of deciding of, hey, do I want to have two separate podcasts, or do I just want to take This Is Her Story and morph it? I think right now I'm kind of leaning towards morphing This Is Her Story and just taking it in a completely different direction. Maybe not completely different direction, but maybe shifting it, you know, 35-45% in a different direction. And for some people, that will feel like a 180. For other people, it'll just seem, yeah, that's pretty much the direction I thought she would go. So these next few episodes, I'm still going to post them on both podcasts, kind of see, I don't know, I'm just thinking through, praying through what I want to do. I really want to expand the podcast to include just a broader concept of faith and spirituality. I want to be able to dig a little bit deeper in some things. And I know that for the first several years of This Is Her Story, I've really focused on women, clergy, and the church. That's what I focused on. And I want to take it beyond that, especially in these next few episodes. You're going to see a shift in who I'm interviewing and even some of the things I'm talking about. This one in particular, I don't think it's going to be a shock. Like it's not a dramatic change in venue or change in content, I should say. So I want you to meet my friend and welcome Megan Cousins to the podcast. She is a fairly newly published author, although she has she's finished her first series. The genre she really focuses on is romantic fiction, I guess, is what we call it. And I don't think it's considered young adult, but romantic fiction. Anyway, she just finished her first series. It has four books in it. She started a new series. I don't think that new book has published yet. If not, it's very close to being published. So you're going to want to keep an eye out for that. I am going to put a link in the show notes for Megan's Instagram so that you can follow her over there and then watch for that new book to publish. It'll be exciting. We talk a lot about the process, like how did she just start writing, and then how has writing maybe been a form of spiritual discipline or spiritual formation for her. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed getting to know more about her process and know her more as an author, and I think you'll enjoy her story as well. So in the meantime, keep following both the podcasts until I figure out what I'm doing. And you can also, so pretty much anywhere you can get podcasts, right? Apple, Google, Spotify, and then I also have a YouTube channel, and so you can go over there and check it out as well.
We've been trying to tell better stories about women and clergy and the church because we really need to tell better stories. Instead of just complaining about it, what if we flood the airwaves with something different?
I've been wanting to get you on the podcast for a while. And now that I have this new podcast, I'm like, this really dovetails well, I think. So I got to know you through your process as you were kind of feeling out whether or not you thought you had a call to ministry, different direction, still kind of ministry related, but like you're not moving towards official ordination, right?
Correct.
Yeah. Okay. So what's your like day job? What do you do?
So actually, I just recently started a new day job. I am a Title I academic tutor and parapro for developmental kindergarten.
That's cool. So what's your degree background in it?
So I have a bachelor's degree in counseling. And will eventually be working on the master's toward a counseling degree in counseling and licensure, and eventually doing that as my day job. But right now I'm at the school and I get to work with the developmental kindergarten, which is 4 and 5 year olds. So have my foot in the door in the school, which I love, and just being there every day has been wonderful. So.
Now your degree, you're moving towards your master's and stuff like that. Are you going to do like school counseling, or you want to do like therapy with adults or kids? Like what's that look like?
Yeah. So I'm not entirely certain that it's going to be school counseling. That's one of those things that I'm still praying about, looking for direction in. I would love to work with children though. So doing therapy with children, maybe out of a practice or out of, a community mental health sort of situation is kind of where I'm feeling called to at the moment.
I love that. Most of the counselors and therapists that I've interviewed in the past have all been primarily worked with adults. And so you're the first person that I've had on that's primarily worked or wants to work with kids and stuff. You're also a writer, a published writer.
Yes.
Okay. So I know you have one series of books that you've finished. You're starting a new series, but let's talk about in a few minutes. We'll talk about what you're doing now, but I want to talk about how did that get started? Like you just like woke up one day and you're like, I'm going to write a book.
More like I was called into an emergency staff meeting and told you're going to be working from home for the foreseeable future. So this would have been March 2020 when everything went crazy. And so I was working and I was doing school and I just needed something to just get all the crazy out of my brain, right? Like everything was just, there was so much unknown. So I just started writing. And I had this story in my head that I was going to write. And this one character was the sister of a main character, but her personality leapt off the page. And I was like, okay, nope, we're changing this. She's going to be my main character. And so 2020, I wrote it and then I tucked it away, never to look at it again, because everybody wants to be an author, but like, how do you actually do that? Right. And then a few years later, so it would have been, well, not a few years, but end of 2021, I connected with someone on Instagram who I had started posting book reviews that I had read. And so was she. Come to find out, she was getting ready to start publishing. And I was like, hey, can I ask you a question? Like, how are you doing this? And since then, she and I have become really good friends, and I published a full series.
You're a fiction writer.
Yes.
That's correct. Okay. So tell me, I want you to tell me about the book, but first, sorry, my ADHD is also kicking in
totally
today, right? Is this the genre that you wrote? Is this what you typically read? Like, is this your, if I'm going to go and I'm going to read a book, get something from new from the library or the bookstore?
This is what I typically read. Yeah. So my series is contemporary romance, which is what I mostly read. That shelf back there is almost all contemporary romance. But I also write with, they call it lived experienced fiction. So the characters either, one has arthritis, one has chronic illness, one has ADHD, and I'm writing out of my own lived experience with those characters. And so it adds a little depth to the book and to the characters, but all while, with this fictional narrative behind it.
So you did the first one, and then, so how many books are in this series?
There's 4 in the first series.
One, did you think, hey, I'm going to write a second one, or when did that happen?
So initially I hadn't planned on writing a series, but I was in the middle of doing edits and rewrites of the first book. And there was a line that I'd written for one of the characters that was stuck in my head and it would not go away. And it's like, okay, what if I use that and I give her her own book? And so that was how book two was born. I wrote two scientists in that book, and one of them is big in like ecology and things like that. So her one line in the first book was like, hey, maybe give her her own book. And since then it was like, that was two siblings. There were two others. I had to give the rest of them a book. So that was kind of how the series came around.
Like, how long did it take you to first one?
To write the first book?
Yeah.
A couple of months just to draft the manuscript.
Okay.
Another month of editing and rewriting, and then had it ready to go.
Because this episode is going to post right at the beginning of NaNoWriMo.
Oh, yeah.
Month. Yeah. So I imagine there'll be some NaNoWriMo people listening. I'm going to do that for the first time. I'm going to do that in November.
Oh, that's wonderful. It's so much fun.
Yeah. I have no idea what I'm doing, but...
I didn't either.
But I'm not going fiction. Anyway. So you did the first one, like 2 months. Now, the second book, how long did that take?
That one was a lot faster.
Really?
I honestly don't know how long it took me to write it, but it felt like the story came faster to me because I already knew the characters at least a little bit and was able to kind of flesh out their story a little more quickly than the first one.
So you said this series kind of came out of your lived experience, right? Because you said they all have like disabilities and stuff like that. Did you put like, I guess, how much of yourself is in the book? And then how much did you just use that kind of as a springboard and maybe you brought other stuff in?
Yeah. So in the first book, the main character, Penelope, has PCOS, polycystic ovary syndrome, which I also have. And so with the writing of that book, or originally, it was a lot of me just sort of processing what that meant. Because when you're on a Zoom almost every day and you're seeing yourself in the little screen and you're having issues with what you're seeing, it's not always easy. And so I just started writing, like, what if I have this character who's on television or involved in television and has some of these same issues that I do? And so in Penelope, there's a lot of my own journey with that. Not so much in the other books, where I sort of used it more as a springboard and gave them their own experience, but was able to use mine to inform it.
Yeah. I like that. Did you do research, or did you just, it was a lot of, because of it was your own experience, you just pulled from that?
With that one, I mostly just used my own experience. Did a little bit of research because, you know, everyone's experience with that is so different. So there was some research that went into it, but mostly it was just things that I have experienced.
Yeah. Now this new series, like how similar or different, and like, where did this reality come from? This new reality.
So in the first book of the new series, the characters appear in the first series. They were side characters that are sort of taken in by the family. And they had these personalities that, as I've said before, just sort of like came off the page. And I'm like, okay, you get a book. And I was going to just do their book. And then as I'm writing these other characters, it's like, oh, okay, maybe they get a book too. And so that series keeps expanding. Just as long as there are stories to tell, I'll keep adding. So it's sort of a spinoff from the Wild Pitches series, but it is its own brand new series.
Do you have a name for it yet?
Yes, it's called the Unwritten Rules series.
The Unwritten Rules. All right. I want to read it now just because of the title.
It's very baseball, but you can, I think, enjoy it without knowing baseball super in depth.
Okay. Yeah, your first series was baseball, right? Theme. Is that your sport?
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
I am not, like, when it comes to like team sports and stuff, like that's not like my thing, right? And so I'm always think it's fun when people are, especially women, write books that are sport themed, and I'm like, that's cool, because I wouldn't even know where to start researching it. But yeah.
And what's been so fun, especially with the new series, is exploring women in baseball. We have progressed in our real world to a point where women are more involved in baseball, in front office and coaching positions, and even in the media. And so being able to explore that in the series and have these main characters be women that are, you know, in these positions has been a lot of fun. You know, it's just sort of been fun to explore these characters that are women, you know, in positions within baseball, and just being able to tell their stories and kind of, you know, shine a light on women, you know, in sports.
So are you gonna, so I'm curious, I get like how much of that dynamics of women in a sport that's traditionally male dominated, like how much of that are you bringing into the series?
Yeah. So in the first book, I do touch on that quite a bit. You know, just this idea of the way that the baseball player in the first book would be high-fived and, hey, you're the man, you know, for whatever. Whereas the woman in the relationship, if things were to go south, you know, she would be the one painted in the press as being in the wrong. Because she's a coach, he's a baseball player, it's a whole thing. So yeah, I definitely bring that up a little bit. And book two is a woman who's a baseball writer, who initially she's only writing, you know, using her first initial, because who's going to take a woman seriously as a baseball writer? And so she explains that and kind of talks through that as well. So yeah, definitely bringing that into it.
Yeah. I'm exploring this idea of faith and spirituality and the intersectionality with just our everyday life, right? Like, and how that influences it or doesn't influence it. And like sometimes people who have a specific faith that does influence the way they're writing, but then other people are like, I don't want to have, like, I don't want my writing and stuff to be pigeonholed into, well, this is only for Christians, or this is only for Hindus, or this is only for Jews. So talk about the role in writing, and then like, how did you decide, are you going to include stuff in there about it? Are you not? Like, yeah.
Sure. So yeah, I definitely, toward the end of the publishing process with the first book, was thinking more along the lines of, I don't want this to be pigeonholed as Christian fiction or only marketed as Christian fiction. There are discussions in that book of grief and of how we, you know, find healing. And I wanted that to be able to reach a wider audience. There are some readers out there who, if they see Christian fiction, probably won't pick it up. My second book, if you do a little deeper reading, talks about creation care and being a steward of creation. And so I wanted to be able to bring in some of those themes without the label of Christian fiction, because then I'm able to reach a wider audience and have, you know, have these discussions from a wider lens, with my own worldview influencing it, but not putting that label on it.
Do any of your characters, or do you think any of your characters in the future might explore? Like, I'm thinking about either your characters now or characters in the future. Do you think they might explore their own faith, like their characters exploring their faith? Or is that something you're just not, you don't think you want to ever go down? I'm just curious.
I would be willing to go down that road.
I've never designed a character, so I don't know. I was asking all these weird questions. So let's just talk about being a first time published author, you chose the self-publishing route. I guess, why did you choose that? And then, like, how did you even figure that out?
Yeah. So figuring that out was, I connected with somebody, like I said, on Instagram. We were both posting book reviews, and that was how we connected. And then we started talking about our own writing journeys, which turned into us publishing our debuts right around the same time. And so I've been kind of walking this road with her the whole time, which has been wonderful because it's a lot to learn on your own. And so the option that gave me really the most control over my narrative and my characters was self-publishing. And Amazon, for as much as we like to talk about, you know, Amazon being Amazon, they make it really easy for authors to self-publish. They walk you through every step. And so I was able to get that started. And from there, it was easy enough to set up the rest of my series and just keep going. And it allows me to someday, if I want to, explore those, you know, discussions of faith, and maybe without an editor saying, hey, cut this out, or, you know, or going through the query process of getting an agent, which could take years and then never come to anything. Doing it through Amazon just kind of lets me tell the stories I want to tell. And I've enjoyed it.
Yeah. So do you have, like, I know you said you just sat in 2020, you just sat down and started writing, done a few books. Do you have a writing process? Like, what does that look like for you to write a book?
Yeah. So especially with a series, I make sure that I have notes everywhere. This series, I have a spreadsheet with the different teams I've created and the characters on, you know, who's on the team, so that I keep names straight. And I do have a notebook that keeps all my notes in it, but I draft in Google Docs because I can share it with my critique partners that read for me. And then, so I draft, I edit. I have a cover designer that I've been working with for the last 2 years that she does. I give her my notes and she brings it to life for me. Then we upload and we get ready to publish. And I do all my marketing on social media. So that's part of it too. Have to flex a little different creative muscle to do that.
Right. Yeah. And if you've been doing this, so this is 2023, so you've been writing for about 2-3 years. I guess how has the writing process itself shaped or influenced your faith, your spirituality? Like, how have you grown? How has it helped you to grow as a person? Like, and I guess, what has surprised you most about this journey?
Okay. So as far as how writing shapes my faith, there's such an intentionality of sitting down and opening the computer and writing. And some people will tell you, you know, shoot for a specific number of words every day. I just want new words every day. I don't care how many I put on the page as long as they weren't on the page before. And so I think there's also that same intentionality in our study and our growth and whatever that spiritual formation looks like for us, whatever those practices are. It is a practice, just like writing. The more we do it, the stronger we get. And so as we have that same intentionality with whether it's journaling or just reading our Bibles or a study on our own or with other people, because that's the other thing I've learned. Community is so important. And I think so.
Of some sort. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know about the diversity, like, you know, if there's diversity in faith, you know, different faiths being expressed in that group. But I think we've neglected that aspect of our faith of,
yes,
that our community groups don't have to be centered around God to be, you know, a place where we find spiritual enrichment and growth. Yeah.
Right.
Things you wish you knew maybe before you wrote, or just ways you want to encourage new writers, people who are just like thinking about writing their first book or whatever.
It's so simple, but it honestly, it's just do it. I mean, you're always going to find a reason to talk yourself out of telling whatever story you're telling. No one's going to want to hear it. Why am I doing this? Nobody's going to read this. It's not going to be a New York Times bestseller. Well, you know, not everybody is, but write the words anyway, because my first book was just for me. Nobody else was supposed to read it, but I get messages still on a fairly regular basis saying, hey, my daughter has PCOS and I understand her a little better now. Or, hey, you know, my partner has anxiety and I was able to use something from your book to help them. And it's fiction. Just write it. And people are going to say, oh, write 5,000 words a day, write 1,000 words a day. That's the worst advice, at least in my opinion. And I'm not an expert. It's just write, just put the words down somewhere. You have to start with a blank page, put words on the blank page.
I'm still trying to come up with a question to ask people at the end of this new podcast. Okay. But I guess what's feeding your faith right now? So it would be, is my question for you today.
Sure. I actually, have restarted a book that I thought was nearby, but it's not, that I can't think of the name of, but it's about being creative and sort of channeling your faith through creativity. And it's just kind of that reminder of ministry doesn't have like defined parameters of what it looks like, and that even creative writing can be ministry. And so that's really helping inform my writing and my own spiritual growth, and just kind of leaning into that.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm not myself. I feel so low.